Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to talk a little about Shakespeare. Now, wait before you roll your eyes. I'll make you a deal. I'll talk about one of the greatest English writers, well, ever, and you will only have to listen for 5 minutes. Deal? See what we just did there? We compromised. No prizes for guessing which word we are exploring today. The word compromise, or compromised, I will go out on a limb here, is pretty much known to all of us. In fact, we learn it from a very early age when we are pushing our caregivers to give us more time to play, or not to have to eat all of our vegetables. A word we will come to know as give and take. And in fact, to compromise comes from, surprise, surprise, the Latin, compromissum, a consent to arbitration, building on the marriage of compromitare, from com, together, plus promitare, promise, a together promise. But, as you may suspect, Uncle Will used this in a slightly surprising way, though in a very unsurprising backdrop of a legal arrangement in the watery capital of northern Italy's Veneto region. When William first sat down to pen his Merchant of Venice sometime in 1596, perhaps the death that year of the infamous explorer Sir Francis Drake wheedled its way into Uncle Will's head. After all, the famous slave trader and explorer did famously reach a rather surprising compromise with a group of former Spanish slaves in Panama, the Cimarrons, to join forces with him and pillage a Spanish mule train. But, as usual, we digress. The play so far. Bassanio, a dashing young spendthrift who manages to make financial irresponsibility look positively charming, is hopelessly in love with the wealthy heiress Portia. As he is penniless, he strikes upon a genius idea. He convinces his friend Antonio, the titular merchant, to take out a loan on his behalf in order to impress the quick-witted female protagonist. In Act 1, Scene 3, the infamous moneylender Shylock recounts the fable of Jacob and Laban to Antonio, highlighting Jacob's cleverness in securing his wages from his uncle Laban by selectively breeding sheep.
When Laban and himself were compromised that all the yearlings which were streaked and tied should fall as Jacob's hire, the ewes, being rank in end of autumn, turned to the rams. And when the work of generation was, between these woolly breeders in the act, this skillful shepherd peeled me certain wands, and in the doing of the deed of kind, he stuck them up before the fulsome ewes, who then conceiving did in eating time fall party-colored lambs, and those were Jacob's.
Uncle Will uses the phrase Laban and himself were compromised in the original sense of the word. They came to an agreement. But today we come to a compromise, or we arrive at a compromise. If it's in the past tense, we reached a compromise. The addition, for us at least, of ed at the end shifts the meaning, to weaken. One only has to think of the pandemic and remember the phrase compromised immune system. But enough of that. COVID-19 is best left in the past and hopefully not to be repeated. And that is not something I'm prepared to compromise on. And on that, I'm sure we can be compromised. Now eat your peas. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.